enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I thank the Lord that people feel free enough to obey the Lord and to come and pray when they feel like they need to come and pray. It's good to pray. Amen. It's good to use the altar. Thank God. I know it seems like for, it's been this way, I guess, ever since I've been saved. I could remember people afraid, or I don't know, maybe they were ashamed to go to the altar, worried about what everybody else is going to think I'm up there for. And I got to the place where I thought, it doesn't matter what they think, what I'm up there for.
Amen.
The only one that it matters why I'm doing in the altar is the great God above. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when I got that behind me, why, it was a lot easier to get in the altar. Amen. And I thank God for the many times that the Lord has drawn me in my heart, giving me something that I need. You know, God can fix things for you just that fast. Give you a peace about something, or forgive you of something, or answer a prayer, whatever that it is. Whatever you've been looking for or needing from Him, and He's the one that supplies the need, whatever it is. And you know, when we come to Him in that manner, then thank God. I mean, things that we'd been trying to get settled for, you know, who knows how long, God can fix it. Just a matter of, well, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith. I know we use that for salvation, but if it's used for our salvation, it can certainly be used for our walk, amen? Because we continue in faith, amen? We continue in faith. All right, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 8. The book of Mark, chapter number 8. And I desire your prayers. Also, I want to tie this thought in with a verse in Mark chapter number 12. And Mark chapter number 12, verse 29. Thank you, brother. We can begin reading at verse 28 in Mark chapter number 12. Give me just a second. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This is also written in the other Gospels where Jesus had made this statement when they had come. Of course, as they had tried many a times, the Sadducees and Pharisees to question our Lord. And a certain man came to him and says, what's the great commandment? And Jesus said this very thing. And he said, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. You remember him saying that? This man was wanting to know what the first commandment of all was. What the first commandment of all was. And it's amazing to me that the Lord didn't bring it down to just one. He brought it down to two. We had one of our prophets that had brought it down to several, to love mercy, to walk humbly before thy God, to fear the Lord. Moses had started out the commandments with some 630 some commands, saying, if you'll be perfect, you'll do this. But here, our Lord has brought it all down to two. That if you'll do these two, then all the law and the prophets hinge upon these two. And I guess what I'm trying to, I want to go read in Mark chapter number 8. And this is where we'll be preaching. In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. Our Lord knew that these people had come a long way to see him, to be with him, to be around him and who he was. And then seeing their hunger, said, I have compassion upon them. Now, this was a little bit different than the time before. I believe it over in Matthew, where he had fed 5,000. This is the feeding of the 4,000, where he fed the 5,000. But here is this feeding at the 4,000. They had been with him 3 days, and he had compassion on them. Our Lord God had compassion. That's who he is. That's a part of his essence. This is who God is. And we're living in a society. I heard a preacher say this. He said, we are living in a society where we don't know how to define who we are anymore. Or what we are, or what anything really is. But you and I, for us to really find our purpose, is to know who he is and who we are. To really know him. I mean, people today, they don't know good and evil. Do they? They don't know how to define a woman.
They don't know how to define the family. There's a lot they absolutely do not know how to define. That's the society that we're living in. And everybody's got an opinion of who God is. And nobody can define Him. But God defines Himself. He says in our reading over in the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 29, when Jesus had answered him, He said, "The first of all commandment is, Hear, O Israel." This people that also had so many questions. "The Lord our God is one Lord." And anytime you see Lord right here, He's talking about the supreme in authority. And the God, He is the deity. And when He said that the Lord, our supreme in authority, our God, our deity, is one Lord. He's one. In three persons. We're the only ones that believe that. Do you know that? So many others, they see God in so many different manners. But they don't see Him as God in three persons. One God in three persons. Amen. One God, that's who our God is. And it is almost a mystery, I mean, for preachers throughout the ages to try to explain or to understand the supreme authority, our deity, our God, our Lord God, who is one. Amen. Without blasphemy. But He is one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. One. And that word one means the numeral one. Not one as in unity. It means the numeral one. Our God is one. Our God is one Lord in three persons. Amen? And we can try to wrap our minds around Him. We can't wrap our minds around God most of the time. Listen, we see a man and a woman and a child, and that's how humanity proceeds. But God wasn't made that way. God wasn't made. He always has been. The one God in three persons. In the beginning, He said, let us make man in our image. Amen. The very person of God, the very breath of God, the Spirit of God, the very Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is God. He is one. And He had compassion. And God wants you and I to love the Lord God with all of our heart. To have that love. That love that's not the love between man and woman. It's not the love between parents and children. It's a different kind of love. It's the agape love. And He wants us to love the Lord God with all thy heart. And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. And with all thy strength. And He said, this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. In other words, the second is just like the first. to love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. He said again in the other gospels, upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. To understand that the commandment of God is for you and I to love Him with all of our heart. To love our neighbor as ourself. To have compassion. To have a real compassion that reaches out of us. Are you listening to me? And I see that in this story here in Mark chapter number 8 of our Lord. He said, I have compassion on the multitude. It was coming out of Him. And He said, if I send them away, that's the answer for most people. We cannot have compassion on our neighbor if we send them away. Compassion is linked to what you and I are going to do and how we're going to love them and love our God at the same time. We must do something. Love causes us to reach forward. It comes out of us again. It was the very passion, not compassion, but the very passion of our Lord to die and rise again. Because why? He loved us. That was His passion. And you and I have this compassion that we're commanded to love God with. With all of our mind, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor, and not to send them away. In verse number 4, look what he said. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? In other words, how can I do anything for these people? Our compassion will enable you and I to connect to our faith in God. It's not us that will supply. You supply the compassion. God will supply the fish. Amen? That's what happened here. Somebody was willing to give over what little bit they had. They had compassion. It wasn't enough to feed everybody. They were wondering, how can I? Whence can a man satisfy these men with bread? Verse 6, he commanded the people to sit down. And he took and he gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples. Look what our Lord did. He took what was given. He gave thanks to the Father above for it. And he broke it. He multiplied it. And he gave it to his disciples. Now the Bible says this. They did set them before all the people in verse 6. And they had a few small fishes and he blessed. And commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. These that Jesus had compassion upon them, their need was met because of the compassion of our Lord. Do you think it was because of the few fish and the few loaves? No, it was the love of our Savior. Amen. The great compassion that multiplied the little that was not enough and made it enough. They did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. that they had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. I got to studying this and studying some more of it this morning. And, you know, when he had fed the 5,000 and he took up 12 basketfuls, that was a different word for baskets than what's used here. The word for basket used here is spurus. The word that he used over in the 5,000 feeding was kophanos. It means a smaller basket could hold about 2 gallons of stuff. In other words, it's what people sometimes, you saw them on their head. It was their lunch for their family for that day. But this basket that he said they took up, it was left. 7 baskets was the size of a large hamper. Compassion makes the difference. It was the same word used in Acts 9 when they had let a man down the wall in a basket. It was big enough to put a man in. And that's what they had left over. 7 of those baskets full. A different basket. Again, the great multiplier, the great God. I mean, think about what's happening to him. His divine care. Amen. Our great burden bearer. Christ had compassion. He saw a man in many men in human extremity. And most of the time, you and I, that's the place you and I get to.
Right.
We get to an extreme place.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were facing hunger. And when hunger came, providence came.
Yeah.
You ever wondered how God's providence could work in the midst of hunger? That's the perfect place for God's providence to work. When man's full, how could he ever notice the providential hand of God? But when he's hungry and there's not enough, and then there is enough, there's more than enough, that's providence. And our Lord, our great supplier and his divine care gave providence. Their unbelief did not hinder the unrealized power of our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The power that he had, that if they just had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. I mean, that's all it takes. Now, that's all it takes to be able to give what you have to the Lord is just faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You seem to think God can't take what you give and supply your need. And sometimes, listen, people get themselves in shape that way. Many people, they were stunned because our Lord could not do many mighty works in a place because of their unbelief. But those that had just the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, he moved mountains for them. I'd say this was a mountain mover. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, just a few loaves and fishes, and then they had 7 hamper basketfuls left over. That's a mountain mover right there. Amen. God can still move mountains. Amen. You need to believe that. My God can still move mountains on just a little faith. Praise the Lord. Now, they had come to a place, and Matthew says it was Magdala. Here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 10, he calls it Dalmanutha. It's on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee. And so the Pharisees came forth and they began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. Really? Seeking for him a sign? Where were they at? Where were they at when he just now did a mountain moving experience right here in front of everybody. And he sighed deeply in his spirit in verse 12 and saith, now what does that mean? He groaned in his spirit, the Bible said, in one place, and was troubled. Our Lord, sighing in his spirit, groaning, heavy, because of these that came looking for a sign, looking to tempt him. And he said, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. When they asked for it, he refused them. But when he had compassion, and when they acted upon faith, he moved a mountain for them. Do you see the difference? There's a difference in how some people react toward God and how other people react toward God. Some people, they just want to see something. Some people want to see if God's going to give it back. Let me see if God will do that. How about just loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? And then loving your neighbor as yourself. Showing that compassion. That's who Christ would have you and I to be. That's what every bit of this is centered around. That's our foundation. To do that, not to all these other things that we try to do, do this. Do this. Love God. You love God with all your heart. He didn't ask you to do anything else. You love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You do that. I'm reminded where Jesus was leaving his disciples and he was telling each one of them what they were going to do. One of them said, what about this fella here? He ain't doing nothing. What'd Jesus say to him? I'll tell you what he said to him. I'll tell you what he said in plain English. He said, that's none of your business what he does or doesn't do. You do what I said for you to do. Amen. You do what I said for you to do. You concentrate on you. Amen. You concentrate on your love for God above. With all your heart. With all your soul. With all of your mind and with all your strength. You concentrate on loving your neighbor as yourself. You can't help but look at them, and when you see them in a tough way, you've got compassion. It comes out of you. When you see your God, when you approach your God, that love, it just naturally comes out of you. And you're willing to put all your strength in whatever God would have you to do. With all your heart, you want to please Him. With all your soul, you want to walk with Him. With all your mind, you want to think on Him. The disciples, they'd gotten to another place in verse 14 and forgotten to take bread. Verse 15, he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and of the leaving of Herod. He's talking about their doctrine. You see, it's what other people are saying and believing and that's separate from this will poison what he has told us to do. We get our mind off of it. Where if we could just love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourself, and don't be moved by the leaving of the scribes and of the Pharisees, and the leaving of Herod, the things that's going on in this world that begin to affect the way you and I believe. Things going on in around us, anywhere, even among religion. The Pharisees, he said. That was even there in the temple. Things that some were doing in the temple. He said, you beware of them. Don't let that affect you. You love God. Amen. You love God. Amen. You love your neighbor. In verse 17, when Jesus knew it, he said, and then why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart hardened already? Had their heart hardened already? That they didn't understand that Jesus could, he didn't need their bread. He wants their compassion. He wants their faith. He wants their dedicated love to him. Is your heart so hard that you think if you had brought a little bit, that would have made the difference? No, and that wouldn't have mattered. He reminded them. Verse 18, look at how he reminded them. Having eyes, see ye not? Now listen, this right here is key to how you and I are going to love God and love our neighbor or not. Having eyes, see ye not? Have your eyes been affected? And having ears, hear you not? Have your ears, are they hearing something else, or are you not hearing what I've been saying to you? Do you not remember? That's their mind. When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments you took up? They said unto him, 12. They remembered. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many basketfuls of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. They remembered. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? You remember, but then how do you not understand? What they had seen with their eyes and heard with their ears, they didn't let it get down in their heart. They remembered. But they couldn't be moved again. Why couldn't they be moved again? How is it that sometimes we can leave after God does something so miraculous to us or in front of us that we can't leave changed in heart. My love for God grows. My desire for Him burns. That's what it should do. We shouldn't be in lack. We should not be in lack. The just shall live by faith. He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. I wonder why he led him out of the town. Wasn't going to do it right there in the same place that he had just done this, and they turned right around and tempted him. He took him out away from everybody. Led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in thy town. People's lack of reasoning, their lack of perception, the hardness of heart, the dullness of eyes and dullness of ears causes them to not be able to remember things that God had just done. Just done. He had just done those things. People get saved. Listen, that's the time when they need people around them teaching them and encouraging them and lifting them up and reminding them constantly. Why? Because what just happened, the devil would love to take it from them. And then they live a life. If they did get saved, they live a life doubting. All their life doubting and questioning and wondering. Christ doesn't want you to live that kind of life. He wants you to love Him like He loves you. He loves you. Amen. He loves you. And He's asking that you love Him first and most. And love your neighbor as yourself. So much in this. So much in this. I have compassion on the multitude. Where is our compassion today? Do we understand what it means to have compassion? Do we understand what it means to love God? To love our neighbor? We need to understand that. What it is that He has asked of us to do. Amen. I want you to stand.